B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
All right, week three of the NFL season kicks off today. We're doing our weekly podcast. We'll drop later. We're doing this podcast on Friday morning at 9:40 a.m. Week three started last night, Dan, with the Browns getting the victory. The line was 4.5-4. So I like the Steelers all week long. I just thought it was a good bounce-back spot for them. I'm fine with the loss, by the way, Dan. I'm fine that I lost. I feel good about the side I took. I lost my bet, and I know in the end that's all that matters, but I'm fine with it. But at the end, there was a few interesting things. Like, they went for the field goal to try to get the onside kick, to try to get play the clock. But I would have gone for it there, Dan, because in that position, like, you might still get the ball back and score and still be in that same opportunity. I'm fine with my loss. It was more about I thought Trubisky would bounce back. He wasn't terrible. And, wow, did you see Pickens' catch? That might have been one of the – that's the catch of the year so far, at least.
I mean, yeah, definitely an unbelievable catch. I agree with you on the Tomlin call. And people are going to say, well, it's great because it got me the over. And that's fine. Like, I didn't have a play on the total last night. But the fact is that it was the wrong call. It's the wrong call probability-wise. It's the wrong call statistically. It's the wrong call in every situation. The Chargers had the opportunity. I think it was a couple, like, the other week or whatever. And they went for it. I mean, statistically, you're supposed to go for it there. The likelihood of you getting back down there is unlikely. You know, Hail Marys are such small percentage chance plays. I know we've seen a couple work over the past couple weeks, but they're such small percentage chance plays. They almost never work. It was just, in my opinion, a horrendous call by Mike Tomlin there. I would have gone for it, and maybe that changes the outcome of the game, Joe. Maybe it doesn't. We'll never really know. I thought the Browns were the better of the two teams. I thought they, you know, Brissett continues to look way better than most people expected him to. I thought the Browns could have covered pretty easily last night and would have had they not completely fucked up, you know, had Amari Cooper not dropped that fourth down right before halftime. So that's my take on the game. I thought, you know, the Steelers were very lucky to move the ball. I think Mitch Trubisky is horrendously bad, and if Mike Tomlin does not make a change soon, that team is going to be 1-3 next week because they are bad with Mitch Trubisky.
They're just too skilled of an offense to have a guy who isn't mobile enough and checks down too much. And I know that Najee Harris has had success. He's just not the, like, answer for a check down, like, you know. Like, James White, I get it. You know what I mean? Or Alvin Kamara, you know. It's not a slight on Najee. It's Trubisky. Yeah, that's the problem. And they're too skilled. But I'm fine with my loss. I lost by 1.5. I had 4.5. Well, I'm fine. I liked my side. I lost my bet. I liked my side.
You actually lost by 12. You actually lost by more than that because the Browns ended up winning by 12.
Wait, what was the final score?
29-17. Did you not see the final play of the game?
What the hell happened?
You must have turned it off. They went for the trick. They went for the classic trick play, and ball was fumbled into the end zone. Browns recovered.
Oh, I missed that.
Yep.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. Let's move on to more of I lost. It's fine. I suck.
No, relax.
No. No, now I really feel like an asshole.
I mean, it was the final play of the game.
Oh, you mean to tell me it got worse than what it was? Oh my God, that's even worse.
Oh yeah, people lost their mind on the teasing under and the Steelers because you teased the Steelers at 10.5. Well, you lost now because they lost by 12. So brutal. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I woke up for this. this is great.
I hope you did not tease Pittsburgh. No,
I did not. But I couldn't get my West Virginia bet in. I was pissed. They won big.
Yeah, they did. They won big. I like Virginia Tech. I almost took them at 3. It just never got to 3 minus 110, so I didn't take them. But, I like that side. I was wrong.
I didn't make it home in time. 7:30 kickoffs Thursday night, out. And I don't like the Amazon thing either, but whatever. It's sports betting, and I'll watch whatever they give me.
My stream week 2 was a pain in the ass. My stream last night was perfect. I didn't have a single problem with it. But I know that everyone's internet is different and that people are saying they have problems. And honestly, it is frustrating about the fact that it feels like ESPN and everyone else is updating before the play is even over. So I was a little bit frustrated by that.
All right, well, let's look at the NFL board this week because there are teams that are over. We got some home dogs, and I think the there's two games of the week. I think everyone's going to focus on Rodgers and Brady, but I think Miami Buffalo is the game. We'll get into that in a little bit here, but let's just start with a winless team in Carolina, who's 2.5. New Orleans off their loss last week. I just thought Jameis Winston flip switched for him to suck again. And it was a close game and whatever, but it was the Jameis Winston factor. I think that's why they lost last week. But now they go on the road. They've already won a game on the road this year, opening week. Do you know the 16-game sample of Carolina? They Matt Rule's, I think, going to be the first quarterback canned, and that's a that's
coach,
actually something
you coach, coach fired.
Yeah, I think that's like in play. McCaffrey went on the injury report yesterday.
Yeah, apparently he is practicing full today though.
Okay, the Panthers have lost 9 consecutive games versus the spread, Dan. It's the longest streak in the NFL, and of the last 16 games. This is Matt Rule. They're 2-14 against the spread. So this is the worst team against the spread in football. They're at home, 2.5-point dogs. Home dogs, Dan. 9-5-1 on the season. Any shot at Carolina here?
So I'm not going to play this game. I do think that this is a game you take a look at, and obviously I think most people would be motivated to take Carolina in a spot here. They're winless. They're a home dog against a division opponent. But and I do think it's somewhat of a letdown for New Orleans, even though they lost last week. I definitely think this is a letdown spot, but it feels like everyone's very down in New Orleans. And last week what I saw was an elite defense that played in a divisional opponent, and probably, you know, if Winston doesn't, you know, if they don't fumble the ball on that drive going down the field, they have likely a lead, a pretty big lead. And now we're talking about a completely different ball game. I really think that was the turning point of the whole game was the Saints fumble. They were driving down the field. I think they were either up 3-0 or tied 3-3. And, I mean, that was going to be the game right there. I really thought that was going to be it. Brady had, you know, Evans had been ejected, whatever. Like, it was a mess, and that was kind of the turning point, Joe. To be honest with you, I think people are undervaluing New Orleans here. I don't trust Carolina. I know they're a home dog. I know divisional dog at home. It's a situational spot. I don't care. This Carolina team is bad. I have an under 5.5 number on them early in the season, regular season wins, and I was real concerned when that number shot up to 6.5, and I was like, well, I'm going to lose this one. This went the wrong way. Joe, I don't know. I think this team is real bad, like real, real bad. And I think the Saints are going to rebound here in a spot. It's not a good rebound spot for them at all. It is technically a letdown spot. I'm not going to bet the game. I like New Orleans, though. It's probably a little bit square. I don't care. I'm the talent disparity of these two teams, even though they know each other so well, the talent disparity is there, man. This is not a good Carolina Panthers team at all. And I don't know what they can do to fix it.
Yeah, the Saints have won 9 of 11 in the series, but remember last year when the Panthers got off to a good start, they had that good defense. They actually beat they beat them last year 26-7 in this spot. But yeah, I feel the same way, man. I think Matt Rule's a problem. And I think he's unbettable at this point.
He is a college football coach if you have ever seen one. He is I don't think he can coach at the NFL level. And we're going to see. I mean, it's still a somewhat small sample, Joe, but I mean, it's not good the way that it's trending right now. If they lose this week, they'll be 0-3.
So we got Houston and Chicago. I mean, let's be real. It's Justin Fields and Davis Mills. That's how you first have to look at this game. Dan, I know you've been beating the drum. I mean, this isn't like to pile on Fields because of like another quarterback or this guy is bad. And I thought it was Matt Nagy, and I was shocked they won week one. They were terrible last week. And, you know, Montgomery is a hard rusher. You know, Khalil Herbert can add a little something here and there. They're a bad offensive team. And, you know, I think the Texans have showed fight, right? Like, all year long, they've showed fight. I know Mills wasn't great last week, but if I'm just betting the quarterbacks, to me, it's Mills. And I don't know. The last time they met was a couple of years ago. It was during COVID. And, you know, they won 36-7. This was when, you know, Houston was having its issues with Watson. So the line right now, and I just want to be accurate. All right, I see 2.5 right now. Do you think Chicago should be favored at home in this spot?
I made the game close to Chicago 2.5. I just think Houston back-to-back road games against, you know, Chicago has proven to be a better defensive team than I thought they would be. Their defensive line has been really, really good. So I've been, you know, I have been impressed with kind of what they've done defensively, Joe. So I'm not going to kill them for that. They, you know, I do think that they've been better there. Houston was really bad offensively last week, but they just didn't finish drives. They were moving the ball on Denver, and I was watching that game closely, obviously. I lost, but that's another team I think it's improved defensively. And so I'm going to go back to the well here and say that, you know, I'm not, again, not a game I'm looking to play by any means. I'm not excited to jump in. But I'm really interested to see what Justin Fields does against this Houston defense. Just to give you an idea, Justin Fields right now is 15 of 28 in two games. 15 of 28. They let him throw 11 times against the Packers. And again, if you take a look, a lot of those throws are when he was behind. So really, we're talking about maybe 23, 24 throws that he's really attempted in two games. That basically goes to show you the Chicago Bears, you know, people think there's coaching problems here with Mac and they don't trust Mac. They do not trust Justin Fields to throw the football. He has been bad when he has. He is not good. His QBR 24.3 is 31st in the NFL right now. I know he's run the ball a little bit here and there, been successful, but they're a disaster. And if Houston is smart, they will stop the run and force Justin Fields to throw the football. And I didn't think that Green Bay did that enough last week. I thought they let Montgomery kind of get, you know, run a little bit on them. I think that speaks to how bad their run defense is. But, man, Justin Fields is not good, man. I did not like this kid coming into the NFL. I really liked him as a college player, but it just felt like the passing tool wasn't there in college to me, the consistency, and it has carried over. I don't see him being a success in the NFL. I hope I'm wrong because he's an Ohio State guy, and I like him as a player. I like him off the field as a person. Like, I think he's like a good human being, which is, you know, rare for the NFL these days too. But like, dude, he sucks. And I take a look at this and I think that Houston's defense and the way that they're playing is better than, you know, considerably better than what people are saying. You know, Davis Mills had a really bad week last week, but just in general, I think Davis Mills is more consistent. I think he's a better player. I know road Texans spot, not the spot to back them in. I do like that side, though. I think that's the way I would go. Joe, I do think that, you know, you take a look at the total in this game, too, and because it's, you know, it's pretty low. It's at 40. I'm very interested. This one opened 38.5. It's gone up. So people think these teams are going to score a little bit. I like the under. I'm passing on it, but I'm going to watch this for a data point because totals in the NFL start next week for me.
Only thing, if I'm just eyeballing this game and like Hey, want to bet the game? Sure. I'd take a shot at Lovie Smith's defense against Fields. It's just, I feel like he's gonna come up with something that's going to throw him off, and the Texans, I don't know. They're going to regroup, you know? I just feel like they can regroup here. I'm not betting this game, but I don't know. The Lovie Smith and two new coaches going at it with Eberflus and Smith here. So,
by the way, Eberflus does not look good either.
If I'm just eyeballing the game, Texans. Even though I think Chicago should have the upside. Give me the defense in that one. So I want to save KC, Indy, and Buff for a minute here, but Detroit, Minnesota. So I liked Detroit last week and I liked Minnesota last week. Detroit rolled, Minnesota didn't. Minnesota's at home. I think that every week we should consider an over in a Detroit game. Like, it's weird. They're like the only team to start scoring 30 points a game and losing 30 points a game. So right off the bat, I feel over is the play, and we look into it, and it's a divisional game, and generally games have been going under anyways. Detroit won this matchup last year, if you remember, they won 29-27, but they're on a short week now. Cousins wasn't good. You know, he's from playing a team that he knew when he was in college, which has been a long time now. But Goff's been good. I'm not saying great. He's been good, and Swift playing with an injury has been really good. The Lions snapped that 8-game winning streak winning last year. I don't know if that got them off the hump. But I do think that Detroit will put up points in this one. The Lions, I just feel like 5.5-6 is too much. I want to back Detroit. But how do you feel about Minnesota off a short week?
I like Minnesota in this spot. I do. I think that this is a good bounce back spot for them early in the year. I do think Detroit continues to be a little bit overvalued in the market still. I know they covered last week. I know they won. And I know that we were both on that side, Joe. But again, they had a big lead and they let Washington get back into it. And it's just concerning that this seems to be a trend with this team. They just seem to have let up for a couple quarters. DeAndre Swift is absolutely banged up. He had one big run of about like 50 yards last week, and that was it. He finished with 58 yards and like had a monster run too. I actually hit a middle on his yardage last week on prop yardage there. Like he doesn't look right. The Lions, I told you, I like Jared Goff with this team. Like, they let him throw. They are not scared of letting Goff do his thing. Goff has kind of finally settled into the league, it feels like, a little bit. So he's playing at a much higher level. I don't know, Joe. I think that this is I think this is a good matchup. I agree with you. I like the over as well. That would probably be the lay that I would lean in the game. But I do think, again, Minnesota was dominant at home against Green Bay. Like, we do forget that. We haven't seen the Lions on the road yet, so I am kind of interested to see how they play away from Detroit. And I think that this is, definitely would be a Minnesota side. This is one that hasn't made my card yet. Definitely on the outside looking in, but this is one I've considered adding. Minnesota has, the look ahead line was 8.5 here. It's down to 6. We're starting to see some 5.5s pop. If this gets to 4.5, I will take the Minnesota Vikings, Joe.
Well, it opened at 6, which if we're just talking about opening lines, that should favor Minnesota. I agree with you. And it's the first road game. That's always a big Jared Goff in a road game, dude. He's been good. You know why? Because he's been at home. And I'm not slighting him. I do think that Detroit wants to run the football and he might be the right quarterback for that, but he's got to go on the road and do it. Minnesota's a tough place to play. Only thing that concerns me is Minnesota on a short week and the fact that this game was tight last year. I could see it being close again this year. Patriots, Baltimore, Dan, I'm interested in your thoughts. I know we've briefly talked about it. I'm fading Baltimore. I think they're beat up. They're hurt. They have to bring in JPP to help them out on defense. No word yet on what's happening in their secondary. They did have more guys practice yesterday. Their line is beat up. Lamar Jackson's no longer wearing a sleeve, but I think he has problems throwing the football at the moment. That was a meltdown a week ago. Now they have to go on the road against a team off a win, opening up at home where Mac Jones plays better at home. I'm hard on Mac Jones, but at home, him and the offense average 30 points a game, and Belichick at Gillette has owned the matchup versus Harbaugh without Brady. So I'm gonna ride it. I wanted it at 3, Dan, but it's 2.5 live. I'll PP it again. This isn't a homer take for those listening on other stations. I like the Patriots at 2.5, and I like home underdogs. So give me the 2.5 for the Patriots. Ring the bell.
There you go, PP Patriots. Yeah, I'd also like to address that. Getting called out about betting the Patriots last week on a show who absolutely, and they know absolutely fucking nothing about gambling. You know, if you're listening to the podcast, you guys don't know a damn thing about gambling. So stop trying to pretend like we're homers. We had Miami week one. Like seriously, enough of this crap. How many times have we bet against the Patriots last year and the year before? We bet against them all the time. Like, this is a team that we bet on and bet against. It has nothing to do with Homer or the fandom or anything like that. It has to do with the fact that they're in a good spot or a bad spot. And so Joe likes them this week. I don't. I don't like either side this week, to be perfectly honest with you. I think this is a game where I'm going to completely avoid. I'm going to completely avoid this game, Joe. I think that you can make a legitimate argument for both sides here. I think you make a legitimate argument and say, well, Baltimore is, you know, coming out in a bounce back spot. Here's my problem. I heard Felger say this too, a bounce back spot. Baltimore isn't at a bounce back spot. They were in a big spot. They scored over 35 points and they lost the game. That's not a bounce back spot. A bounce back spot is when you go into a bad situation, you lose, you come out of it. That's a bounce back spot. There's no bounce back for blowing a massive lead on the road in Miami. That's not a bounce back. You just sucked. You blew the game. This is not what you would consider when you look at spot betting. This is not one of those bounce back spots that people talk about all the time. This is not that. This is a you blew it. And now it's almost like a Browns situation where that was not a bounce back spot. That was just a bad, in my opinion, that was the whole world on Pittsburgh in a bad spot. I felt for Pittsburgh going on the road on a short week against a better team. This is Baltimore going on the road, not on a short week, and against a team that doesn't score as much offensively. Clearly, they've had problems finishing. You know, the whole world is going to be on Baltimore, Joe, which means that, you know, we'll probably see this 3 number pop again. So I know you had to give out 2.5 right now because that's what the podcast is. But if you're listening to the podcast, you should wait for a 3 on this. You should be waiting for a 3 if you like the Patriots. If you like Baltimore, you should strike while the iron's hot and take the 2.5. I personally like the over. I really did. I was like, well, I think the over is probably going to be the right side at 42.5. Now it's up to 44. I'm starting to like the under. If this gets to 44.5, 45, I'm looking at the under. I think that, again, I like the Patriots. And again, we've talked about it. I think the offense has been better than people think. I think the execution is where they're lacking right now.
Yeah.
They have the setups. They're crossing an opponent's territory. They just need to execute in opponent territory. That's the reality of the situation. No more Mac Jones, you know, stupid throws or penalties to take them out of, you know, whatever range. Just execute in the final third of the field. That's the reality of the situation. And that's where this team is. They need to get better. The coaching needs to improve in that situation. I've not been critical of the coaching because I don't think the coaching has been a major problem so far. But I do think the coaching in the final third of the field offensively needs to improve, whether that's Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick, Joe Judge. I don't give a fuck. They need to get better. But you mentioned Belichick owns this matchup against John Harbaugh and the Ravens.
At Gillette, they've struggled there for sure.
Yeah, but even so, even in the games in Baltimore, they've still had a good strategy for Lamar Jackson. Lamar has just been a little bit of Lamar. Lamar on the road, not the same guy. The elbow is definitely there's an impingement or some pain or something going on there for sure. So that's a bit of a concern if you're Baltimore. He didn't throw a ton of passes after he hurt that right around the third quarter. He didn't throw a ton of passes over 10 yards. I think he threw 2, including the Hail Mary over 10 yards. So there's definitely something wrong there. I think that, you know, that it's probably more of a problem than they're leading on. He's obviously going to play. If New England can play contained against Lamar, which is way easier said than done, I like them to win here. But I think you can make a real argument for both sides, Joe. It's a pass for me on this game. This is a game I'll just watch and hope the Pats win as a fan.
Oh, yeah. If people are listening and want a Baltimore take on it, they're averaging 30 points a game. Their running game has been good, and they don't even have their best players. Like, Lamar Jackson's been what? He's been awesome. I mean, besides the little meltdown late in the game, which is a big deal, he's been really, really good. And the thing with the Ravens is they're just hurt. Like, again, I mentioned Marlon Humphrey's missing time. They got to bring in guys because they don't have bodies. Only thing I will say on the Patriots side of things, Kyle Duggar's probably not going to play unless he's there today. So that's going to hurt them in the running game, Dan. And that's what Baltimore wants to do. I don't think he's the greatest pass defender by any means, but with Andrews over the middle of the field, I think they do need Duggar. And then what if Jacoby Myers can't play? And I'm wondering if that's a blessing in disguise to get Bourne on the football field. All I'm saying is I think Baltimore is going to win their division, and I think they're the better team. But to your point, Dan, the Patriots haven't been as bad as we've seen them. It's really just about execution, and Mac Jones is just a better player at home, and he should be. And Belichick has a scheme for Lamar Jackson, and it's worked. And I'm going to back it again this week. I want the home underdog. That's it. It's not a homer play. It's not, I don't work for, hey, just because I cover the team, do the post game, Dan, doesn't mean I bet them every game. But so far this year, I have liked the Patriots versus the number every, because I think it's public perception. Everyone thinks they suck. It's all we hear, right? Well, I'm going to take them this week because I think they can hang around and beat Baltimore. That's it.
Yeah, I like them in the spot next week better. I think in Green Bay against a team that has a very shoddy run defense and offensively is not the same team these years past, coming off a Tampa game, I think that's the spot I'd be looking to bet the Patriots next week, not this week for me personally. But I understand the argument from both sides of the coin here this week. So, all right, let's move on to the next game. What do you have for us here, Joe?
Well, all right, let's just do Buffalo-Miami. Okay. Buffalo is awesome. Dude, there's talk. I don't know if you saw a bet, but it's out there that they can go undefeated. Well, now they got to go on the road, right? To Miami, which is always a tough place to play. 5.5 is the number. So we always talk about that number 5, right, Dan? Fuck, I hate that. I hate that number. I kind of want to fade Miami after an emotional win last week. Like, I want to. But I think there's a lot of just a love of Buffalo. And, dude, they've been flawless. Buffalo won this game a year ago, 26-11, but this is a different team. And I know Miami's dealing with, their tackles got some injuries. Xavien Howard's dealing with a groin. Melvin Ingram's, been in and out of the lineup. I want to fade Miami here, but, the number's 5, and that's always a number you don't want to bet on.
Yeah, so I'll say this. Sunday is supposed to be hot in Miami. 87, 71% humidity. It's going to be hot in Miami. And that is a problem, in my opinion, for a team like Buffalo, who right now it's turning the fall. So it's not totally a major issue. But, this is still a team that practices up north. It's a little bit colder right now. Going down there, it's been a problem for that team in the past. It's a problem for the Patriots every year. We talk about it every year. So, yeah, look, I think that this is a – I think this is a big issue. I think this is a big, big, big issue for Buffalo. That being said, I don't really want to get in front of that train. I don't want to get in front of that train, Joe. I don't want to get in front of the Buffalo Bills train right now. And yeah, that's not normally the way that I would approach this game, but it is how I'm approaching it right now. Buffalo to me is one of those wagons. They're, a couple of years ago when the Chiefs got Mahomes and they were rolling and they started 10-0, that's how it feels. I know Buffalo's not going undefeated. It's so hard. And if you take a look later in the schedule, they have at Kansas City, home versus Green Bay, home versus Minnesota, home versus Cleveland. I believe Watson will be back for that game. Like, I think he will be. I'm not, but he might be 1 week too short. But either way, like, they have a very tough stretch coming up. They have Baltimore on the road next week, back-to-back games. They're not going undefeated. Okay, simple as that. But you know, that being said, this team is unbelievable. They go, you know, they beat Tennessee no problem without Gabe Davis, who I think is a huge, huge part of that offense. They roll right along. Now, Tennessee might not be great, definitely not as good as most people thought they would be. But, you know, this is a train I don't want to get in front of. That being said, if there is a team in the AFC who can score with fucking Buffalo, it's Miami. Explosive plays are what the Dolphins are going to live in and you know, live and die by this year. The Patriots, and by the way, we have to give more credit to the Patriots defense for not allowing those crazy explosive plays. Sure, they got one with Waddle. I mean, look, it's going to happen, but the Patriots defense did a very good job. The Ravens defense did not. What can the Bills defense do against the potential explosive plays here? Tua's going to have to be great. Josh Allen's going to have to be great. This is going to be a fantastic game. I'm very excited to watch this one, Joe. I'll definitely be watching this game, but I got to be honest, you know, everyone loves the over here. It's a divisional game. This feels like an under game to me. It feels like, you know, last week's game went under. This one feels like an under game. So I am going to take the under 53 in this game, and maybe I'll look really stupid, you know, in a couple weeks, on Sunday. But I'm going to take the under 53 in the Buffalo-Miami game. I'm going to PP that. I just think that this you know, again, divisional games to me, they're slightly different. And I do think we are looking at two very good defenses. I think Lamar Jackson really hurt Miami early in that game last week, coming off a divisional game. And I think Miami is going to be ready for Buffalo this week.
Yeah, and divisional unders have been hot. So I would – I agree. You know, this could be a 21-17 game and a, you know – maybe it's the first week, but going on the road, man, people don't, I know they won opening week, you know, against the defending champs. One thing about Buffalo too, keep in mind, they've been so good in the second half. So good. Like even the Rams game. And then even last week, they've been, I don't know. I wonder if they play well early and then struggle on the road.
And I guarantee you I'll feel stupid for this. Guarantee you I'll feel stupid for this bet later in the week. But that being said, like, it is what it is.
All right, let's talk teams to get their first win, Dan. The two teams that I have going 0-3 are the Panthers and the Colts. Again, that so it opens 6.5. It's 5.5 now, so money has come.
It's 6 now.
It's 6. Okay, all right. So I've seen it at 5.5. I am sorry, but I am not going against Kansas City with extra time in a spot where they have Patrick Mahomes has dominated the Colts. Like I'm, and this isn't a everyone's gonna loves what Kansas City does. This is a complete Indiana. The Colts are not playing well, and they can't score. And I think Matt Ryan's a problem. It is their first home game, Dan. So let's at least give them that. I have the Colts to start 0-3. I don't really have a thought on the spread, but I think they lose this week.
I am going to disagree. Give me a PP. Colts plus 6. I was able to get some 7 earlier in the week. I would try it because, again, we're giving out the spread on the podcast. I would try and wait to see if it gets to 6.5. This is one I would rarely consider, but I would buy in this situation if it's, you know, not if we're not talking getting to -130, -135. If you can get 7 -125 on this game, I would be comfortable with betting that. For me, I disagree with your – I disagree, Joe. I think that, you know, Kansas City coming off a huge divisional game – where they got really beat up in that game. Both teams did, the Chargers and the Chiefs. But, you know, that's a team that got considerably, you know, pretty badly beat up. And, you know, they're on the road in Tampa Bay next week. So could be very much a look at spot as well for them too. I mean, this is a Chiefs team that I really like, Joe. But, you know, They played the Cardinals week one, and the Cardinals defensively are a disaster. I'd like to see what Indy does at home. I think they're going to be able to play a little bit of ball control. They're going to be able to run the ball on Kansas City. That's the one thing Kansas City has been bad so far with is the run defense. I think Jonathan Taylor should have a big game. They'll play a little bit of ball control there. And let's not forget, Indy struggles against their divisional opponents. It's a thing. It has been a thing for years. It isn't going to change under new leadership, old leadership, whatever. It doesn't matter. The Colts and the struggle with divisional opponents. And I feel that people underestimate the Jags, underestimate the Texans. Whenever the Colts play them, they always forget about this. So, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I really like Indy here in a good spot. Kansas City coming off a tough divisional game. They have Tampa Bay on deck. It's not a great spot. You have to go to a team that's desperate for a win because you start 0-2-1, you're in serious trouble there. And now we're talking about whether this team even has a chance of making the playoffs, even in that division. This is a huge, huge game for Indy, not so much Kansas City. You can see definitely a bit of a letdown coming up off of the Chargers too. I really like the Colts in this spot. I think this is one of the better spots, and so do the Sharps. This number opened 6.5. The look at it here was 4. It opened 6.5. It's down to 6, 5.5 some places, but mostly 6s now. It was 5.5. It's bouncing back up to 6 everywhere. Bet Online now has a 6. Bovada has a 6. Westgate has a 6, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, look, to me, this is a Indy or nothing spot. Don't be fooled by the team. Stop betting team bet numbers. You take Indy with the 6 points at home, badly needing a win here.
Yeah, and again, I'm not touching the line. I just think the Colts go 0-3. But hey, we'll find out. And how many times have you seen it where a team absolutely looks putrid and they come back next week and beat the team that's been the best? And as far as we've seen it all the time, it happens often. I just, Dan, I got burned. I got burned. 24-0 last week. That was the Jags. Like that. No. Nope. I can't do it, but you know what? You're on it. The other team that can't go 0-3 is Cincinnati. So I look at this as a revenge spot. Like, Cincinnati lost this game last year. The Jets always follow up a big win with a crap loss. They always do. But Cincinnati's got problems on that offensive line. There's no doubt about it. Like, duh. No, they're bad. It's bad. And I think the coaching is the problem. Like, you can't get a tight end over there to help your tackle to stop one of the best defender on the other team. Like, Micah Parsons would line up on the outside, and the tackle wouldn't even look at him. How does that happen? Anyways, I feel like the Bengals bounce back. But did you see this stat? The Bengals in week 1 and 2 were touchdown favorites in both games and lost both. No team has ever done that 3 weeks in a row, and here we are with Cincinnati. I don't think that bodes well for them, but I know this, Dan. I've watched the Jets a million times in my life. They win a big game, and then they go flat the next week. I don't think Cincinnati goes 0-3, but I would be wary of covering 6 points.
I think there's a real chance Cincinnati is 0-3 here. I'm not betting the Jets, but if Vince gets the 7, I will. Look, people talking about the Cincinnati offensive line being the problem. You break down the stats, and it actually doesn't. It's not the O-line. It's Joe Burrow. And maybe this is a culmination of what happened last year and, you know, maybe – preseason football, I don't know. I wasn't paying super close attention to Cincinnati's offensive line in preseason, to be honest with you. I thought they'd be improved, so I wasn't paying, you know, an insane amount of attention to it. But, you know, what I do think is that Burrow's holding on to the ball too long. If you take a look at that, he's holding on the ball, you know, in terms of, you know, length to throw, 29th in the league right now, meaning he's holding on to the ball way too fucking long. Whether that's teams double covering Jamar Chase and forcing them to throw underneath and Burrow not wanting to take what's there, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, Cincinnati's not playing well. And they lose on the road to a backup quarterback last week. Now we're putting them in the exact same fucking situation this week. on the road to a backup quarterback, and we're saying that they're going to win, no problem. Everyone's betting them, 87% of the bet, 92% of the money. The whole world thinks it's no problem. Teasers are all going to be on Cincinnati. You're going to be teasing down to a pickup. Parlay is going to be all on Cincinnati money line. Like, I don't know, man. Does anyone really feel comfortable laying points of this team right now?
No.
I know. They were in the Super Bowl last year. They were great, yada, yada. This is not the same team, and Joe Burrow does not look like the same guy. I mean, it really comes down to, it's as simple as that. I think the Jets offensively, week one, a lot of late yards. But last week, they were much better offensively than people thought they were against Cleveland. Obviously, they got lucky there again. So now there's the luck strike again week three with their offense. Who knows? I'm not going to say yes or no, but I'm passing on Flacco and I'm passing on this whole game. I like the under. I know that line has gone the other way. It's up 45 now. I'm passing on this game completely. But all I'm saying is, if you're thinking about teasing Cincinnati or money line parlaying Cincinnati or whatever Cincinnati, use your head. You have to use your head. This is not the same team from last year. They are not the same Bengals. Burrow is not the same guy. He is not playing to the same level. Use your head and realize this is going to be probably the book's biggest liability on Sunday, is my guess. If they're letting you get it under 7, use your fucking head and expect to fit and realize there's a reason for that. There's a reason it ain't getting to the 7.
Yeah, I think the Bengals win in like a 3 or 4 point game, but you're absolutely right. Just how many times do you have to see it to like not touch it? I mean, it's never happened. It's never happened. 3 weeks in a row? It's just the same number? Like, come on now. So I feel you on that, Dan. I think that people are going to jump on Cincinnati, or maybe there is love for the Jets after a win last week. A dangerous, dangerous game right here to bet on. I would stay far away. Like, really, I would stay off that. All right, Vegas, Tennessee, I can't figure out. Two Belichick disciples, if you want to call them that. I wanted to back Tennessee at 10 points. Man, did they get their asses kicked. And it was a close game at first. What the hell happened? We know what Vegas is, dude. That was a bad loss. And I had the Cardinals. I didn't think they'd win outright, but I had them. So I don't know. Dan, I don't know. Tennessee's at home and home underdog. And I know how you feel about McDaniels, but I don't know where to go with this one. I got nothing on this game.
This is a game, I mean, look, the Rams bounce back off Buffalo. I think Tennessee will bounce back off Buffalo. Vegas, again, people are going to say, oh, it's a bounce back spot for Vegas. No, it's not. It's a letdown spot for Vegas. Josh McDaniels continues to be the Josh McDaniels. 3 points in the second half and overtime last week against the Arizona Cardinals defense, which is horrendous. Again, I think Josh McDaniels is a bad coach. You guys all know this by now. I don't really know what else to say about this other than the fact that I think Josh McDaniels is in over his head. And I think it's going to take him at least a year to figure it out in Vegas. And even if he does figure it out, it's not going to be this season or late until the year. That's my personal opinion. I don't think the guy is a good football coach. I think the guy is very easy to read and predictable. You guys have all seen my thoughts on this. We don't need to dive into it. What I will say is, I agree with you, Joe. I think you can make a reasonable argument for both sides here. Tennessee bounce back spot coming off Buffalo at home. You know, they should be a little bit better than they were. These two teams, in my opinion, are pretty similar. You know, Vegas is going to be an underwhelming team who passes the ball. Tennessee is going to be an underwhelming team, an underwhelming team who runs the ball. It's just, I don't know, man. I like the under in this game. That's kind of where I would lean in this one, to be honest with you. That number was beat the hell. It is one of the only totals I played this week. I played under 48 in this game. I'm not going to give it out 45.5. That's just, I just can't do that. I feel uncomfortable doing that. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people on the Vegas money line here. I feel like people are going to remove the spread and play the money line, and I feel like it's going to be big and teasers, and I know it's stupid. You should never tease across zero, but some people still don't listen to that shit. I do feel that will be a concern there, but I got to be honest, Joe, from a football standpoint, I think, you know, I think it really comes down to, can Derrick Henry move the ball against his run defense? If he can't, Vegas is going to carve them up.
Yeah.
Even as bad as Josh McDaniels has been, they can figure this out.
8-3 when they go, well, last year when he went over 100 yards, and he hasn't even touched it this year, 82. So another thing with these two teams, Tennessee absolutely blew week one and got blown out in week two. The Raiders have lost both games by 11 points. So, like, who's actually played better? It's probably Vegas, but they both suck. Oh, man. And Dan, the last meeting, I know you said the under, 42-21. Now, that was a couple of years. That was the end of 2019, which is now, what, 3 years removed? So, two completely different teams, different coaches, etc. Man, this is one I don't want. But I agree with you, though. I think people are going to lean Vegas on this one. And Josh McDaniels on the road versus Mike Vrabel, huh? We've seen that before, haven't we?
Yeah, it has not gone well recently for Josh McDaniels.
Home underdog, I think that might be the way to.
That would be the, again, if this got to 3, I would consider playing. It opened as a pick'em, and I think there definitely has been some overreaction to the Bills.
Is Justin Herbert playing this week for the Chargers?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so. They're 7-point favorites off Jacksonville's 24-0 win last week. I haven't really looked at this game yet. And I think, yeah, I remember the lot. Yeah, I remember. I think I remember this from a while back. I don't think Lawrence has been as bad as you think, Dan. But
yeah, I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about. He has been horrendously bad. I mean, he has been, he's a bottom five quarterback in almost every metric right now. He's pretty bad, guys.
He threw a pair of touchdowns last week. Christian Kirk got going. He threw for two. He went, dude, he only had 5 incompletions.
Yeah, but all that's, I mean, it's yak. It's yards after catch. Throwing off a dump off 3 yards and then taking it 60, that's not on the quarterback. That's on Christian Kirk making a play. That has nothing to do with Lawrence or his arm talent or anything. I need that bullshit I've heard all week. Lawrence has not been good. I'm telling you, watch the games, man. He has not been. Sucked against the Commanders.
That's fine. The story of Jacksonville is their defense. They've given up 28 points. Like, they gave up 26 to Denver. The only teams that are better are Denver and Buffalo. So, I mean, their defense is the story here. Can their defense continue to do that against the Chargers? And what is Herbert with this injury? I mean, I just think 7 points might be too much for a team that's had some time dealing with an injury. I don't know. Maybe this is an opportunity to beat up on Jacksonville after a big emotional win. The line of 7's a lot, though, for me, if you ask, if you're asking me.
Do you like Jacksonville or do you like the Chargers?
I guess. Well, I just think the Jacksonville defense has been really good. Like, you know, like, is that, that's something I think we have to look at. I think they stopped the run very well. What is Herbert in his injury? Like, is that, that's really what it is for me. I mean, if I'm looking at it, I think the Chargers should win the game. Can they cover 7 points?
I'm going to tell you, this is one of my favorites of the week. PP, give me the Chargers. I mean, come on. This is simple stuff. Jacksonville coming off a divisional game where they looked like world beaters, and now they're on the road against a team that is incredibly talented offensively, moves the ball no problem. Justin Herbert's been back at practice. I mean, seriously, this is like, you know, this is easy. So, to me, this is one of the easiest spots of the week. I love this spot. I'm surprised that more people aren't on this spot. Give me the Chargers. Give me the Chargers -7. Now, it is -6.5, -115 some places. I prefer that, obviously. If you get 6.5, -110, I'm giving out exactly what it is on the podcast. Give me 7.
I don't have much on this one. I know Chargers have won, have dominated the matchup over the last couple of years. But, yeah, team off an emotional win. The Jacksonville defense has been impressive. I'm curious if they can do it against a hurt Justin Herbert. How about Washington off a loss? They did come back. Phillies 2-0, divisional game, 6.5-point divisional dog. I like Philly, and Dan, I still think they win the division, but this is Carson Wentz now at home versus former team. I think Philly's the better team and will win the division, but Washington has put up points. I wonder if the 6.5 might be the right side.
Yeah, give me PP. Give me Washington. Plus 6.5. Again, Philly coming off, in my opinion, again, a not-so-great spot here. Really a short week against the team that they, you know, they dominated. Now they're against a divisional opponent who, again, we've now seen how these divisional games, every year we've got to talk about divisional games, not the same, not the same divisional games. And I don't know why people just don't grasp this concept, but it's not the same. So, look, this is going to be – Washington has been better with Carson Wentz. He's been better. Like, you got to give him credit for what he's done so far. I don't like the guy. He's not a guy I put my faith in, but he's been better with the Commanders. They've been a better football team together. Philly has looked like world beaters the first 2 weeks, and so you got to start expecting some sort of regression in this game. You got to. Like, there just is going to be some regression to the mean here. They AJ Brown got injured last week. I think there is going to be some regression. And Washington really, in my opinion, still hasn't played a full offensive football game. I wonder, hopefully, for you know, my wallet standpoint, hopefully that's this week. They had a really good chance versus Washington, versus Jacksonville. They were dominating that team in the game. And, you know, now they have a chance. So,
yeah. I think this would be a week to, and dude, the Carson Wentz numbers have been very good. He's got one of the highest numbers in the league here right now. I still worry about him long term, but yeah, I agree with you. Divisional dog getting 6.5 points. I'm in on that one. I don't have much on Atlanta, Seattle. I knew Seattle was going to go down last week, but Atlanta's been a covering machine so far. I wonder if we should still ride that. Like, I wonder if that's something to still go with. I don't love Seattle. I think they had their Super Bowl. I think they're going to go on to suck. They opened 2.5. It's 1, I think, at some places. I'd like to back Atlanta to continue what they're doing, Dan, but I feel like Seattle at home, a lot of people are going to jump on that 1, which scares the hell out of me. I don't think they're a good football team, but I'm not going to bet this one, but I like the way that Atlanta has played and fought through 2 games so far.
I disagree. I disagree on Atlanta. I think that they have been good. I won't give you a hard time there, but I thought Seattle's game against Denver was significantly better than any game that Atlanta's played. Atlanta was
was that more Denver or was that more Seattle?
I think it was both. I think Denver's a good defensive team and Seattle's moving the ball on them. I think Atlanta got their ass whooped last year. And I think they got their ass whooped last year. And I think that Seattle, last week, excuse me, and that they got lucky to even be in that fucking ball game. A blocked punt and, you know, a bad drive. And all of a sudden they're back in that game. They got their ass whooped in that game. It was 28-3. That game was not competitive. Atlanta was not competitive in that game. They are not going to be the – I will take Seattle at home against, again, in my opinion, a very similar sort of setup. You're going to run a similar sort of defense you ran against Denver with Mariota. You're not going to try and get into the pocket too much. You really have 1 to 2 guys you need to focus on defensively, and the run game isn't great. You are running very, very similar plan. So I don't know what to say, Joe. I love it. I love Seattle. PP, give me Seattle. Give me Seattle right now at the pick'em.
Wow.
I love them. Yep, I love them. I think the whole world is backing a shitty Atlanta team on the road, coming off an incredibly lucky performance. It's like people didn't watch the game last
week. Oh, I see the money on Atlanta. Like I see it. I just think Seattle at the small number is square. I just think it's square. But
no, I'll do square. How about this? 72% of the bet currently on Atlanta.
You know, I agree with you. No, I hear you. It's that's scary. Like, yeah, they've played well in two straight games, but they're not a good team. Like, they're not. Seattle, I did fade Seattle last week. They did play harder than they played harder than I thought. But I thought it was more about Denver than anything. But Seattle's tough to beat at home, man. We've seen it already. 1-0 already this year at home. That's going to be an interesting spot there. Arizona Rams. I already like the Rams, Dan, and it's only because of Arizona's struggles. This is all about Arizona struggling at home. They're one of the worst home teams against the spread, and it's all Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know if a switch flicked. The other thing is this. You remember how Arizona used to own the Rams until the Rams beat them 34-11 last year in January? Like, that was always a thing. Arizona owns the Rams. Arizona owns the Rams. It might still be on the table. It was just one game. But, man, I like Arizona when they're on the road as an underdog. But when they're at home, man, oh, God, do I despise them. But they have owned. I'm going to look back on it, but I'm pretty sure that Sean McVay has struggled against Arizona.
He has struggled versus Arizona. But again, I'm not going to freak out too much. Again, very different teams, different quarterbacks. Again, he didn't have Matt Stafford. He had Jared Goff. So it's hard to look back and say, well, he struggled with him. It's a different quarterback. It's a different system. It's a different team. And to me, that's kind of where I throw those trends and say, well, those are not really as valuable. The same type of thing as last night where, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, people are like, oh, man, you know, Stefanski's, what, 1-11 against the division? Like, that's fucking stupid. It's not – those 11 prior quarterbacks weren't Mitch Trubisky. It's not the same fucking thing. Like, you could have a trend. It just – it's not valuable when – the quarterback and the team is completely different. The Rams are a totally different team than they were 2 years ago, you know, when they played the Cardinals. So those trends are completely worthless. They're out the window to me. I think this is a bad spot for Arizona, Joe. I agree with you. I think this is a bad spot for Arizona. I think Arizona, you know, comes off a win that they absolutely should not have had. They come back all the way in the second half. They put on a spectacle. Josh McDaniels, you know, shits his pants, and Arizona comes all the way back. And I just think, you know, I don't expect Arizona to be able to kind of have that mentality, you know, against a team like the Rams. And I know the Rams kind of let Atlanta back in the game last week. I just don't think that that's going to happen 2 weeks ago. I think the Rams are 2 weeks in a row. I think the Rams are a very solid team on the road and in a good situation. The look at here was 4.5. Now they're down to 3.5. I think you're getting a little value here with the Rams. I made it 5.5. I like the Rams. I'm not betting this game, but I do like the Rams quite a bit.
All right, just a couple more games to go here. The 4:30 game. I don't think I've missed anything, right? We got them all? Yeah. The 4:30 yep. game on. All right, so Packers-Bucks. I already know your feelings, Dan, on Green Bay next week, okay?
Yep.
Though both these teams have gone 4-0 on the under this year. Tampa Bay was 2.5. I see 1.5, Dan. I don't know what you're seeing at the moment. So I think Tampa Bay, it's their first home game. They're really beat up. I don't like the Packers at all. Trust me. I don't. I like the over. That's what I like. It's 41.5. I'm going over. I got nothing else. I think both teams are going to score points. I don't know who's going to win. I'm going over 41.5, Dan. That's all I got.
Are you PPing that?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay. Bait. All right.
Over. What do you see? I see 41.5.
41.5 is what I have, too.
All right. Over 41.5. And I trust me, I know about Tampa Bay's defense. I know. I get it. I'm going over.
Yeah, Joe, this is only Joe's second point of the podcast. I really thought you were going to be on more sides this week. I was expecting swing and Murray here.
I got one more.
Okay, cool. No, it's fine. I like where you're going. I will say I know that this number tumbled. This number was 48 last week on the look at. Now it's 41.5. So I do think that there is a little it's dropped even a little bit too much for me. Like, I think that's. You know, I agree. I agree with your statement on this. It's dropped too much for me. I This one's tough for me. So the look at line originally in this game was 3.5, Tampa Bay -3.5. But now they're at a pick'em right now. And they basically have no wide receivers this week. Julio did not practice yesterday. It does not sound like he's going to play. And that is, I mean, so now we're talking about, you know, Russell Gage and Rashard Perryman being the Bucs wide receivers this week. I mean, that's really who we're looking at. And I think Perryman is okay. But Perryman got banged up last week. Gage got banged up. Bobby Moore is going to be your third guy, who I think at times can be fun, but, like, he's not a guy that I really like, you know, right now. But, I mean, you know, to me, this is just a Tampa Bay team that they're so banged up, man. Fournette got hurt. Donovan Smith is still hurt. They're banged up on the offense side. Akeem Hicks is out this week. So you're missing one of your big run stuffers, one of your big pass rushers there. Like, they just feel super banged up. Green Bay feels like offensively at least is starting to turn around. My concern with them is they're beat up too. Like, you take a look at their injury report, it's not any cleaner. I think they're going to have a few more guys play, but again, it's frustrating. Alan Lazard banged up, Sammy Watkins banged up, Randall Cobb banged up, Bakhtiari banged up, Kenny Clark banged up. Like, you know, Christian Watson and Mercedes Lewis I think are questionable too. Like, there's a lot of injuries here. I think that's why you're seeing that number drop so much, Joe, because there's so many guys out. I think the Bucs are going to have to run the football. I think the Packers are going to have to run the football. And I think that we're going to see, you know, a bit of a ball control game. So I got to be honest with you, man. I really do lean towards the Packers, but at a pick'em, I can't play it. I think this is a game that maybe Tampa has, you know, it just has a slight bit of talent edge, you know, with here. But the total was missed. The side was missed. At this point, I'm honestly not playing anything in this game. I had Packers +3.5 before the year. I'm riding that. At this point, a pick'em, -1, whatever. Don't bet this game. I think you could probably, you know, if you want to bet live on this one, you want some action, you're going to be a degenerate, fine. But I really wouldn't take anything pregame here, at least until we see the injury report.
Yeah, I like the over. I just think that Green Bay got going a little bit with their running game last week. I think Tampa Bay will be better offensively too. And as far as a side though, I don't know. Tampa Bay's at home. I don't know. You mentioned that Patriots are on deck. I don't know. We'll talk about it on Saturday. San Fran at Denver. Dan, Denver's a home underdog at the moment. It opened as them being a favorite. NFC, AFC. I don't know why I was losing my mind there. So Jimmy Garoppolo's getting his first start, and it's on the road in Denver. I just don't like that. But, Dan, would you back – are you going to back Denver as a home dog here or what?
This is definitely the side I lead. I had the Broncos -2.5 in the game. It's still very short. I haven't played it yet. I haven't played anything on this game yet. I haven't decided on this game yet. I definitely lean Denver. Okay. I like the Niners with Jimmy Garoppolo way more than I like them with Trey Lance, but that does not change the fact that they're on the road. And we've seen what their limitations are. The Broncos were horrendous last week, but I'm trying to recall week one and trying to be positive with what they did. An expected output, an expected points output of just under 29 or just over 29. It was either 29.3 or 28.3. I can't remember what it was. They had two fumbles on the goal line. They've been 0-6, I think, in the red zone. They need to have better execution. And that comes down to coaching. Hackett clearly needs to be better. And they need to execute better. I think Russell Wilson. Maybe this is a crazy take, Joe. You tell me. I think Russell Wilson is on the decline. I don't see the same guy as I used to see in the past. The movement's not there. So I don't think he sees the pocket as well. I don't think he throws the ball as well downfield. I know that sounds crazy. We did the Brady and the Klein show for a long time at 98.5, but I'm serious. I really think that Russell Wilson is on the decline here. So I am, you know, really, really, really concerned. I'm really concerned by what we've seen so far. You know, for this team, I'm gonna pass, Joe. I'm gonna pass. But man, I am very much concerned by what I've seen from the Broncos. I still lean that way. I still don't think the Niners have been anything special in their first two performances. Really bad against the Bears. Good rebound last week, but I wasn't all that impressed with what they did for Seattle. It was a terrible spot for Seattle. I'm passing on the game right now, Joe, but I do lean Denver in the spot.
I agree. They suck. And I have San Fran still going to the Super Bowl still. I don't know why, but I do. And that was my pick at the beginning of the year, Dan. So I'm rolling with it. I don't know why. I've got to just keep going with it. But man, does that Denver coach suck. Man, he sucks. All right, last one, Dan. Monday Night Football, Giants minus one, PP, baby. It's a pure fade on Dallas off a win. Now they're playing their first road game against a divisional opponent. I like what the Giants have done, man. And I know that Dallas is all we talked when we did our breakdown of this. Dallas has owned the matchup. They have owned the matchup, and the Giants aim to go 3-0 for the first time since 2009. I like what Brian Daboll has done with the team. I know Daniel Jones isn't great. I get it. I know. We can say all the things we want to say. But, you know, there are these people that like Dallas without Dak, and I don't know. I felt like there was a little bit of continuity there. I'm going to fade Cooper Rush going on the road in New York in this spot. It's a one-point game. Just like you mentioned in Seattle, Dan, I know Dallas was decent last week. I really do. I watched the whole game and had a hell of a pass rush, and I don't love Daniel Jones. I'll say it again. But give me the home favorite at 1 point in a divisional game to beat an opponent that's owned them. So I'm fading Dallas. We already rang it, but I got the Giants.
Yeah, Denver was a -3 on the look ahead last week against San Francisco. Do you know what the look ahead was here in this game, Joe?
No.
-4.5. And now they're 1? I totally disagree with everyone's premise on Dallas. Cooper Rush was great last week. Fantastic. The Bengals suck. And the Giants have been playing well, well above their level. I completely agree with you. Completely agree with you on this one. I like the Giants quite a bit here. I think they're the right side. I think they're going to win this game going away. I think they win by maybe 7. Like, I'm very surprised where this line has gone. Dallas in a divisional game without their starting quarterback on the road, and they're a 1-point dog against a 2-0 Giants team who's played pretty well. Why? I mean, I know the sharps in the market are all on Dallas and getting the 3. Fine. At 3 or 3.5, I totally understand it. At 2, 2.5, why are you taking Dallas in that spot? I hate the play. I absolutely don't understand it whatsoever for Dallas. I like New York with you, Joe. I think that I will could potentially add them later in the week. I gave out 5 PPs here. I do very much like Denver. The Giants are still early overseason reactions early on, and I think that those are games I'll probably end up adding. So, yeah, I'm excited for this week, Joe.
Yeah, and I think it's good to point out, you know, Dan, I'll be on the weekly spread tonight, and they what's it called? They gave me 3 games, Dan. You know what they gave me? The Titans, Bengals, and Chiefs. Well, no, those are the games that they and like they're the worst possible. Yeah, you know what I mean. Like it's like the worst possible games we can discuss.
I like Indianapolis.
I know. Yeah, and Dan, it might that's fine. It's this is betting. This is gambling. You have your sides. You have your takes. The Bengals game. Dude, I am serious. I'd love to like just get a guy in Vegas to tell us like where their money's at on that one. You know what I mean? Like where the money is coming. Like what are the teasers on? You know, everybody's on the bet. I guarantee that Bengals game is going to be so highly bet, dude. because it's New York too, you know. But teams that lose the Super Bowl, Dan, it's a trend, and maybe we're seeing that in the NBA right now. The teams that lose the championship.
Yeah, I.
Oh, by the way, we're gonna end this podcast now. But Dan, just real life stuff. The Celtics have a press conference in 10 minutes.
Yep, I'm gonna be editing the podcast and listening to the press conference.
So tomorrow, Dan, I think we should just talk about on our show there's been no line movement, and if there is, we'll talk about it. But I think we should just spend a little time on that tomorrow. And we've given out our picks on college and NFL. I think we should just mix that in for a little bit because it is a national story, also local. But we'll do that tomorrow. That's it, Dan. We did
that's
everything.
That's it. Yep.
I'll download this now. You can upload it, and all our stuff will be on the podcast before we do our live show.
8 plays, 5 from me, 3 from you. Great podcast. Yeah, let's have a good NFL, good NFL week 3.
And I'll drop a couple tomorrow. All right, that's it. This has been another edition of the Overrunner Podcast.
Well, you got good luck.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.